Welcome to Pod Sing Se, an Avatar The Last Airbender podcast, where every week we watch and discuss one episode of Avatar The Last Airbender. I'm your host, Abby, joined by my co-hosts, Jen, Nicole, and Steph. Today we're discussing Book 3, Chapter 3, The Painted Lady. In this episode, the gang journeys to a Fire Nation village populated by sick and starving people. Wishing to aid them, Katara disguises herself as the Painted Lady, the river spirit of the village, healing the town's sick and providing food while they sleep. Aang discovers the secret identity that Katara has adopted, and they destroy the nearby factory that has been polluting the river, prompting soldiers to attack the village. Katara reveals herself as the Painted Lady, saves the villagers with the help of her friends, and is thanked by the real Painted Lady afterwards. I'm gonna get into this. Okay, so...
The hate is real.
The hate is so real. I mean, I didn't... No, I don't think I've seen this episode. Mm-hmm. So coming in, I really thought there was a Painted Lady spirit who came in and started saving everybody. And I wasn't catching the, what is it? The early on where Katara was like, no, we should stay behind and help people. And then Sokka.
Yeah, like the kind of subtle setup.
Yeah. So first of all, I just kind of want to identify like Sokka's adherence to his itinerary. I think it's very important, and they were not respecting it at all, and I was very upset that they were kind of like continuously bashing him and being like, oh my god, you and your fucking spreadsheet on a scroll.
Honestly, that Sokka was trying to prevent another side quest, I respected that.
Yeah.
Also, I thought it was really funny, I don't know if you guys noticed, but the actual schedule itself was a Gantt chart. And, like, it looked, if you, like, pause it, it is probably, like, an exact replica of what the production of a season of Avatar looks like.
It was in the, I think it was in the Avatar extras. They were like, it literally is the production schedule.
Yeah, I saw it and I was like, I have seen those charts.
Yeah.
It's like every row is a different department, like a different stage of the production. Mm-hmm. And, like, when it's for TV animation, they're always working on a different step. Of a different episode, and like they're working on like four different episodes at a time, and they're just in different areas of it, and like that chart, I was like, that's definitely like an Easter egg.
Mm-hmm. That's so that's cool. So how is it usually set up? Is it like a roadmap situation?
Yeah. So
I'm just curious how this schedule looks.
Yeah.
Like.
So it's, if you've ever seen a Gantt chart, like Gantt, it's kind of just like a stepped chart.
Mm-hmm.
And when I worked in feature animation, like feature film, we had them too, but it was by each department. So it was like, okay, like, you know, the earliest departments would be like story and like the art department, and like they would start, and then maybe like 3 weeks later, like modeling would start, and then their like stage would start. And then a few weeks after that, like rigging would start, and then materials, and then it's just like the, you know, and then it's all like laid out as like month. And then by the end, you got a movie if you didn't fuck it up.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll Google that later.
Even though I was also like, you know, Sokka, like trying to keep them on schedule. Like this actually is important. If he's the way he laid it out where he was like, oh, we only have such and such days to get to the Fire Nation capital. And he had like planned out this thing. But then I was thinking about it and I was like, hold on. So is this like when someone's having a road trip and they're like, well, by day two, we should be, you know, around this town or this state. And then I was like, but you guys are flying on Appa and you are trying to get to this place at the same time that like your dad and his buddies are gonna like go around the Earth Kingdom collecting aid and then meet you there. And I'm like, you can probably travel faster than them. So you probably do actually have time to fuck around and do side quests. I understand not wanting to do side quests.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, Sokka, how is your schedule so tight that you literally know like 43 minutes? Like that is a very specific amount of time that they have to wake up earlier. And I was just like, you could just skip some of your stops. Just keep flying.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
He was talking as if it was, like, the stops were all just things like, you know, potty breaks and, like, food breaks.
I legit, like, don't even know, like, what other things they would be trying to do.
I was trying to think of that, too. I was like, but what is on this schedule?
This is an interesting conversation.
They're not, like, sightseeing in the Fire Nation.
Yeah.
Aang isn't like, guys, wait, let's go see the gophers. Like...
Yeah, I was gonna say, it's not like they're like, let's see the world's biggest rubber band ball. Like, they're not, like, trying to hit all those, like, touristy
important things.
But that's the thing. I wanted him to talk about that.
Let me know. I want to know what's on the schedule. Like, I'm curious. Yeah. And I, you know, I am two minds about it, where I'm like, I get it. Like, I think he's right. Like, they can't, you can't help literally every single person.
Yeah.
Especially on this, like, smaller individual level when, like, you're working towards a greater goal, which will, mm-hmm. you know, help everybody in the long run. But, I mean, he needs to not yell out in the middle of town that they're going to defeat the Fire Lord. That's a little questionable. But I was like, oh, but yeah. I understand Katara too, where she's like, I can help these people and I don't feel right walking away when I know that I can. But yeah. also I'm like, you can't have this like savior complex for like everybody.
Yeah. But it very much is the argument of, if you know that you're just treating the symptoms instead of the problem, or that you might not have a perfect solution, that shouldn't stop you from doing anything. Mm-hmm. was pretty much what they were doing in this episode, I think, where I felt like I was agreeing with Sokka a lot at first, and then it kind of, but then when he was, it was very much like, he was like, no, you shouldn't do anything, you should just leave it alone, and I was like, you shouldn't do nothing, you shouldn't just be like, oh yeah, there's a problem here, but eh.
Like, I don't know, I was definitely 100% aligned with Sokka this whole episode. It's kind of just like, if I stop and gave $5 to every homeless person on the street because I know I can and because I can afford it, I would rather spend that $300 going towards like an organization that's advocating for like homelessness and their justice and like getting them off the street. It's kind of just like,
right.
This is kind of where I'm just like morally not aligned with this specific episode, and I can see the benefits of that, but just like, and again, we just don't know what's on Sokka's schedule. So I just feel like if we knew it was on the itinerary, maybe I could justify like Katara stopping a little bit more, but I was definitely giving him 100% benefit of the doubt.
True.
He hasn't.
What you and Nicole were both hitting at too is like I feel like it's this, it's like that same conversation around like a lot of attempted goodwill to like, you know, quote, third world countries. And I feel like it's also kind of a thing with like capitalism as well, where it's like even the conversation around climate change, where for so much of like our youth and stuff, the whole conversation was around the individual and like what individuals can do. And it's only more recently that we've had the conversations about how it doesn't matter how much you recycle, you should still recycle, obviously, but like, it's really not going to make a big difference, you know, when like the top whatever companies are making like more than half of the carbon emissions on the planet. And I feel like this is that same thing where like, as an individual consumer, I know if I buy a pair of like Tom's shoes, you know, their whole marketing thing is they send a pair to somebody in need. And like, as an individual, you feel like, oh, well, like I'm helping and doing this, but like, are you though? Versus like, if you actually just like were able to buy directly from a village somewhere that did this, and then Tom's is like a company that like, oh, we're doing the right thing, we're helping people. But it's like, and I'm going after this company, I don't specifically even like know like if they've changed or not, but I just remember that being like an early criticism when they came out, you know. And it's a lot of these like the people that do like the mission trips and this thing and that thing, where it's just like the problem becomes like it's a band-aid fix, and it's not a sustainable solution. Mm-hmm. It's a temporary change, and like the actual thing that would help would be for places to like actually give these people like the facilities that they need and mm-hmm. whatnot. And I feel like that's been like the criticism recently too, of just like, cool, like this is not helpful.
Yeah.
And it's like what Abby said, where it's like, you know, you could donate and you know they can, you can send a doctor to a village who has a residency there for like 6 months, or you could, it's a much longer ambitious goal, but like, or you could like save up and like actually build a hospital and like train up people there and mm-hmm. like create something that's gonna last past a year or past like your lifetime. And I feel like that's like that conversation. And I appreciate, like, I think this episode's definitely like dated in that like the resolution is kind of like okay, well, there's still like, for me, there's still long-term implications that this facility, like this village, is still at risk, because it's not like people aren't going to still find out that this factory got destroyed and everything. And like, I don't know, they meant well.
Yeah. And they aren't just going to necessarily always be able to be like, well, the spirits, like,
yeah,
I was about to say Ozai, but I'm like, he probably doesn't concern himself with trivial matters like that shit. But, you know, like, in general, the higher ups, are they going to be like, oh, well, no, sir, we can't, because the spirit said not to? Like,
yeah.
They're going to punish the town.
They're going to punish that guy who ran away. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, I do think, because at first Katara was just doing the, like, very small band-aid-y kind of things, like stealing food and giving food. And, like, Sokka even made the point where he's like, well, I hope the painted lady comes back literally every day because yeah. these people can't help themselves. And, you know, that's a whole weird thing, too, in the episode.
Yeah.
That, well, hold on. But then we'll get to he's that, like, I you guess. Know, the main solution is you have to destroy the factory. So then she did kind of do, without really thinking about the consequences of her actions at all.
Yeah.
You know, she did that, which is the big solution because that is the, like, source of all of their problems. And then they, like, solved the issue within the episode. But it's definitely true that there's going to be then a snowball effect. And I literally wrote down, like, that Vine where it's like, when will you learn? When will you learn that your actions have consequences? Because that's like all I could think. I was like, did Zuko like infect you somehow when you like touched him that you like aren't thinking things through? I don't know.
But I feel like with Katara, she's so blind to being the savior that she'll stop at nothing to get that. Because it wasn't about this is where like the way that they framed her altruism was really fucking me up because she was like really excited that everyone that was like so happy the painted lady came. I'm like, girl, is it about your ego? Is it because you actually want to help? I think you get off that people are helped by you.
Yeah.
And that's not cool to me because then you're not being sincere in how you want to help. I think you just want someone to say thank you because then you would have been satisfied by giving the kid a fish that one time, right? Because if that's what you feel internally, that's what you could have done at the time given your circumstances, then I think that that's okay. But now she just kept on getting off because the kid was like, oh my God, thank you so much. And she saw like, oh, we gave the fish to the mom. But now she's like, now I feel like she's kind of getting off with her ego, trying to do this as much as they can. Now knowing that like, she fucking pretended Appa was sick. Like how fucked up is that?
Appa went along with it.
You know, like the methods in which she was doing this was really not cool.
He consented.
Appa doesn't know going on. He's like, you're feeding me these berries.
Yeah, but he pretended to be sick.
He did pretend to be sick.
He's smart.
I don't know. Now she's triangulating everyone into her own egotistical scheme. This is really weird. I don't know.
I love it.
I will say they did make a point in the episode that the way that she went about it was not ideal.
Yeah. Right?
That she was like messing up with the gang's schedule.
Mm-hmm.
She was making them worry about Appa. Aang was clearly worried about Appa after just getting him back. And, you know, even the way she was helping the town, obviously Sokka pointed out that everything she was doing was like, it wasn't long term. She didn't think anything through.
Yeah.
It was very in character for Katara to just do what she thinks is the right thing and like disregard everyone else. You know, this is a very consistent characterization for her. But it's like, you know, you are like, I see what you're doing, though, where it's like, I'm like, you're messing it up a little bit. But there is that, like I said earlier, like, there is that thing where it's like, do I just not do anything when I have the power to do something? And it's not really like it's an either or situation. It's not like help this village or stop the entire problem completely. They are still going to stop the Fire Lord, like whether they help the village or not. So it's not like it's like I'm giving up help stopping the Fire Lord to save this one little village.
Yeah. Like, I'm just gonna throw this out there. I'm not anti-Katara in this episode. Like, I get where you're coming from, Abby. I totally do. But, like, I also get where she is. I get where you and Sokka are coming from, but I also see where she's coming from. Where I'm like, she went about it the wrong way. Like, I agree with that. And there were very, like, iffy things about how she handled it. But I feel like her heart was in the right place, ultimately. I get it. I know.
We can go in circles in this, but she put people at risk. They're wanted the Fire Nation, and it's just like this one little this is the hill Katara chose to die on, and it worked out, and that's not something that we should encourage in people. I'm just saying,
talking about your like when you're talking about the ego thing, she did not need to come back to the village after driving off the soldiers and stand there as the painted lady and just get like outed as Katara.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
It was like she could have gone back into the water or whatever, come back in her, you know, Katara outfit.
Right.
I feel like she also should have recognize, like, I feel like the thing I struggle with feeling like a kind of agreeing with both Stephanie and Abby is that like trying to remember that she's still pretty young, and I don't know if this is like true or not, like I haven't actually measured it, but I kind of was like feeling like, oh, I feel like we see Katara kind of mess up more than a lot of the other characters in the gang, like Sokka messes up in like goofy ways that are temporary, but like inevitably like he comes out on top with stuff, and like I am excited to see like next week's episode because that's a very Sokka-centric one and I haven't seen it in a long time. But it's like Toph is like, you know, a little bit, you know, unmovable, In terms of like her personality and like when she decides on something, and like she has a pretty good sense of judgment. And like Aang is also obviously still like learning and stuff, but I feel like Katara, I feel like more than any other character, like in the gang again, like Zuko's a whole other fucking basket case, but like yeah. who we see kind of like trying to do the right thing and like stumbling a mm-hmm. bunch. And like, yeah, I guess to Abby's point, it's like she doesn't necessarily learn the lesson, but I feel like the thing that surprised me the most about this episode is that for someone who's so, again, like the trope with her is she's like talking about hope all the time. And I don't really even feel that that's true on this rewatch. I feel like that's just like an Ember Island players thing that fandom took too far. Mm-hmm. But I feel like but to still be mindful of like that, I am disappointed that she chose to take up the like mantle of the Painted Lady. Cause like, she, you know, the first time she did it, she didn't, she just was herself like in disguise. And like that, for me, I feel like that's kind of what crossed a line, was like mythologizing the help that they were getting mm-hmm. and like playing on this town's like spirituality and like building like, no, like, you know, she had to know she was building a false sense of hope. Like she had to know like they weren't going to stay. And like these people were gonna be like feeling abandoned by this spirit. Mm-hmm. And then the spirit shows up at the end. And then I was like, bitch, where were you the whole time? I guess the pollution like drove you away. Like if I had to justify it. But I was still just like, oh, well, that there's so many implications with it, with the spirit being real too. That like I was like, I don't want to think about it.
No. Yeah. I was like, I guess it was the pollution.
Yeah. That was my guess too.
I'm like, I was the same where. At first where I was like, why weren't you around earlier? And there's, you know, there is that like argument that could be made where people talk about, you know, God working in mysterious ways or whatever. It's like, oh, maybe the Painted Lady brought Katara to the village, whatever. But I actually personally really like what you guys were saying, we're being driven away by pollution. Actually, apparently a little bit more about the Painted Lady history is in like the Kyoshi novels. Where she was this like real person who then transcended to the spirit world. And it does talk about her being driven away by pollution, which is, I mean, that's a common mythological trope also, where if she's the river spirit, then damage to the river sort of makes her ineffective. She loses her ability to influence the world with that. The same way with like, you know, tree spirits, like when the tree is killed, they're like, you know, things like that.
And hey, bye.
And even combine it with, yeah.
Spirited Away.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I know. I thought about Spirited Away, too.
And even if you combine that also with the other, like, lore about how, you know, the old gods, they need the believers in order to actually function. Yeah. That kind of thing. So we could, you know, I hadn't thought about that back the first time I watched it. I was just like, what were you doing, Painted Lady? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I do like that idea that because the river was so polluted, she had no power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I still, like, I feel like, yeah, I have a lot of criticisms about the choices the characters make in this episode, but I still really like this episode, and mm-hmm. I like that it is, like, this super gray area, but also, again, I feel like, by today's standards, it's not as gray, especially considering, like, these were, you know, and, like, they address it in the episode where it's like, hey, like, these are actually people with the power to make big change. On like a literally on a global scale, so mm-hmm. it's a little bit like, hey, like these people are gonna get taken care of because we have the resources and the strength like to fix this thing,
right?
Where it's like, I feel like it would be different if she was just like a traveler by herself or whatever.
Yeah, that's most of where like my iffiness comes from, where I'm like, I get why she wanted to help and I know why, like I get why she did, but you're like working towards a much bigger and more important goal. I think the crux of the matter is we need to know what was on the itinerary. Especially because, thinking forward, they take a whole bunch of other side quests and they show up 4 days early. So, like, what's the truth, Sokka?
Oh my god, you're right. I was thinking that too. I was like, aren't the next couple episodes, I do not remember at all, but I was like, aren't the next couple episodes just like a bunch of, like, not side quests?
Kind of.
Like, again, they kind of are, you could characterize them.
Yeah. Because, like, everybody, it's like everybody kind of gets an episode.
Yeah. I feel like if, like, I'm trying to think now, like, hearing Stephanie talk, I was like, okay, well, I also could understand, like, you're literally there on the ground, and it is obviously much harder to turn your back on somebody in person mm-hmm. versus, like, mm. just, like, oh, let's skip over this poor-looking town, like, yeah. while we're on Appa, like, 1,000 feet away from them in the sky, right. versus, like, oh, I'm here, and I see this firsthand.
Yeah.
For me, I was sitting here, and I was like, well, what's something sustainable they could have done? And even, like, I was like, it looked like at the end of the episode, you know, they cleaned the river and...
Weirdly fast, by the way.
Well, I mean, they did have a time lapse.
Like half a day.
Yeah. They did have a time lapse in there, which mm-hmm. I felt a little bit better about. But yes, it still was implied that it was like over a day.
Right.
But like even without Toph and Katara and Aang's bending to like help expedite the process, like the town still like were doing things and they had tools and they had stuff that they could do, so mm-hmm. I feel like the thing to have done would have been to kind of be like, if we can't stop the pollution, we have to learn how to like mitigate it,
right?
You know, or I don't know if that would have been like setting up some kind of, it's like when there's an oil spill and the first thing they do is they have like the flotation and they like barricade it, mm-hmm. where I don't know if they could necessarily do that, but that's the only thing I could really yeah. think. But I get, like, obviously it's not very cinematic, like, no. I don't know.
And then also, like, the factory was directly upstream
yeah.
from their village. So it was, like, I don't think there was anything they really could have done to, like, have the pollution not fuck up their ecosystem, like, at their yeah. town. So, like, getting rid of the factory is the solution. But, yeah. like, the eco-terrorism isn't, like, the correct way to go about it. Like, the best way would be... Oh, but
the eco-terrorism made Aang so happy, Stephanie.
I mean, the eco-terrorism did make Aang really happy.
He was so totally cute. He looked so gleeful during his eco-terrorism. Yeah.
this is a weird episode, guys. I don't know. This is weird.
A little bit. But, like, you know, obviously the best solution is to end the war so that the factory doesn't need to exist anymore. And it's, like, a much... Mm-hmm. But that is a slower solution.
I suppose if they're expecting to, like, win the war on the eclipse, which is... not very far away, they could be like, mm-hmm. this is great. See, it doesn't matter that they'll come yeah. back at this village, because we'll have stopped them by then. Like,
yeah.
I feel like that's the thing too, where it's like, not for nothing, like, knowing that the day they're planning to attack is a day where the Fire Nation won't have access to their bending, and they'll be relying more heavily on manufactured defense and offensive weapons and stuff. Mm-hmm. There is a strategic, like, decision to destroy one of their prime factories, like, that creates that stuff.
It's true. They mentioned that early in the episode, and I, like, expected it to be more of a factor than it was, and then it was just yeah. about the pollution.
Yeah, but then, yeah, there is, like, that... however long-term repercussion of, like, this village facing the consequences of that, mm-hmm. Unless they outed themselves, that, you know, that, but for me, I'm just, like, I'm, like, spiraling, where it's, like, oh, but, like, in order for the village to not be blamed, Aang could reveal himself, and then they'd know it wasn't the village, it was the Avatar, or it was just, like, a ragtag group of rebel, like, waterbenders, whatever, like, don't make it obvious that it's only one waterbender, it's just something.
Yeah.
And, like, take the blame away from the village. So I'm kind of like, I feel like there were other things they could have done, but, like, you know, I'm not going to hold it against them, per se.
Yeah, man.
And, like, I don't know, Katara's gonna Katara. Yeah. And, like, I appreciate it, but I also get where it's extremely naive and yeah. not thought out.
Yeah.
I mean, I appreciated that they made it very clear within the episode that she was not handling things perfectly.
Correctly, yeah.
And, like, I feel like, I mean, Abby, how did you feel about, like, I like at the end that, like, you know, the town kind of, like, they were rightfully mad at her. But then Sokka, like, came to her defense, where it's like, were you, like, mad at Sokka for doing that? Or was it, like, I don't know.
I felt that came more from a sibling protective stance. And that was something he alluded to when Katara was going to go down mm-hmm. there by herself yeah. and say, no, I'm here for you. That, I think that came more from a... I don't think his morals, like, on that stance changed at all. Yeah. It was more just, like, sibling protective, so I can't even yeah. be mad at that.
Yeah, he was just like, you done fucked up, but, like, I am stuck with you.
Yeah, exactly. Like, family and, like, those mm-hmm. type of ties, you cross boundaries that probably are not that appropriate. I don't know what I would do if my sibling did something similar to that. Like, I'd want to mm-hmm. protect her, even though I might have disagreed with yeah. how things... Yeah, if she decided to blow up a factory for the greater good of a, a little village,
she's
I don't
like,
know.
It was your idea. And he was like, I was joking.
Yeah.
I didn't like how Katara turned around on Sokka. Yeah. I was like, that was.
Yeah, I was like, check. Don't gaslight her.
Yeah. I like how when she was talking to Aang, she even acknowledged, like, I know Sokka was joking, but, like, that's a good idea. But then when he was, like, confronting her about it, she's like, you said it, not me. And he's like, you dumb bitch, I was making a joke.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's like, I also said to use spirit powers.
Yeah, and I made funny noises. I knew Abby was going to be mad this episode. I was like... I was like, Abby's gonna hate this.
Sokka and Aang were adorable during the funny noise thing. That was so cute. When Aang, like, played it, like, he was like, he was gonna pull the I'm the Avatar and a spirits don't work that way card, but then he was just like, it's more like
this.
That was adorable.
You know what? I actually low-key was like, maybe Abby will surprise me and she'll appreciate Katara's earnestness. Mm. And that immediately got shut down.
No, especially if you're expensing the greater good of people's lives in this temporary moment so you can get off. Yeah. No way. And I can get it. Like, you're young, you don't know. Mm-hmm. But you've been through enough, Katara, especially your little stint in jail in season one. Like, come on. You knew it's not as a simple black and white.
Yeah, that's another example of, like, the same thing with her. You know what? It also made me think of in the episode with Heibei. Like, at least in this episode, when they were like, what can we do to help ourselves? And they actually gave a suggestion this time where Toph was like, clean the river!
That was, like, my favorite thing. The, like, clip art Toph that just, like, they, like, slid in and out. And, like, her
voice. Was funny and depressing at the same time. I was like, why do these literal children need to walk you through this?
Yeah, I know. I was like, why do you people not... That was... Okay, hold on, but it made me think of, like, the Heibei episode where at the end they were just like, the forest will grow back. I'm like, why aren't you telling these people to, like, do shit to help their environment? At least this time, the gang was like, please do this and help yourselves. But I had an issue with, like, the fact that they needed to be told to clean the river. Like, I get that with the factory there, they probably felt like there was nothing they could do because they're, like, at a major disadvantage versus all the soldiers, and then they've slowly been getting weaker and weaker because people are getting sick and they don't have food. But, like, with them gone, like, I don't know, I feel like clean the river is a very logical step. I mean I love that, like, Toph line, absolutely. But I was like, why are they so, like, helpless? Like, that I had a problem with a little bit.
It might have been the effects of pollution. We don't know what's in that. There's a town crazy person who has multiple personalities.
He, like, upset me a lot.
Doc/Shu/ what was his last name? Bushi?
Something.
Yeah, I'm like, Bushi, that's definitely just he had too much polluted, like, water or, like, rotten, like, mutated fish. Like,
oh my god. As a kid, I feel like I was kind of just like, oh yeah, he's just, like, the crazy villager. And, like, as an adult, I was like, the implications behind this and, like, where my brain takes this to is, like, way more upsetting than I signed up for. Like, they kind of had that kid in there for, like, the pity card of, like, the little sick kid asking for food. Because it's harder to say no to a kid asking for a handout than, like, a
grown person,
man, like a homeless person.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, yeah, I kind of felt like that, like, I don't know, it was, like, weird. Because it's, like, a lot, I mean, I guess for me too, it's, like, as an adult, I know that the at least in, like, the U.S., like, you know, the homeless population, obviously it's, like, mostly older people. It's, like, a lot of people with mental health issues. And then now you're having this, like, guy, and it's played off as, like, a quote, like, a crazy joke. And I was just like, ooh, like, this, the optics on this, like, are just really uncomfortable for me as, like, 31-year-old Jen. Mm-hmm. And, like, I didn't like him. Anytime he was there, I was like, oh, I'm going to get upset.
Yeah.
And I did.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Even, like, something else I bumped, since I'm just, like, complaining, it's, like, the other, one of the things I bumped on a lot was, like, I felt like the, like, lesson of the day quote of the episode was, like, you know, the line, you know, where it's like, you can't wait around for people to help you, you have to help yourself,
says Katara right after helping
and, like,
them
that as a kid, I was just like, yes, like, so true, like, preach. And as an adult, I'm like, that is such, like, a reductive thing to say, especially, like, again, for me, like, the climate change implications that I definitely, like, read into this in, like, 2021, of, like, you know, where they say with climate change, it's like the people who are going to most be affected are the people who didn't contribute anything to it. It's going to be all of these, like, small islands in, like, the South Pacific and, like, the, you know, on the coasts of a lot of these, like, poorer countries. And it's going to be these people that, like, have just constantly been affected by, like, shitty conditions in factories, low wages, like, just everything that, like, that. So then for me too, it was just like, you have to help yourself. And, like, that had such a a gross, read to, for me, like with this village that is like so depowered compared to all of these bigger countries or like governments at play. And like, I was just like, that is such an unfair, privileged place to say that to these people.
Yeah.
But again, I know she didn't mean it like in all these ways, but it's right. Like with her, it is really like constantly like, oh yeah, she means well. She starts a prison riot. She does this, she does that. But like, what are you learning?
Yeah. No, that's like the most iffy, gross part of the whole thing for me. Because, like, there was literally nothing that they could do, right? Like, was their only option to, like, blow up the factory themselves? That's not a viable option.
Right.
So to be like, you have to help yourselves, you know, and as Nicole said, like, right after she finished helping them and taking care of, like, that problem. But I was like, that's a really, like, unfair thing to say to a lot of people and to a lot of communities. Because, like, speaking specifically just about the show, like, not even taking it into a real world context, people aren't always in, like, in this village, they are not in a position where they can help themselves, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Like I said before, I'm not anti-Katara in this episode because I understand why she's doing what she's doing. And I feel like her heart was in the right place and she wants to help and she can't, like, she has a problem where she, like, can't look away from problems when she sees them. But, like, I still have issues with, like, how everything went down.
Yeah.
But I do like the episode.
Okay, who is most likely to do this within the gang? Like, it's probably Aang or Katara.
Yeah.
If Aang did the same thing, I might be just as frustrated. Yeah. So I don't know for sure.
Yeah.
But it's definitely elevated because it is Katara and the things that she has said throughout
the whole
you know, disguising to be a spirit and, like, you know, my whole thing with her ego. But I think if it was someone else too, I would have been just as mad just because of the way that you're putting other people's lives in danger.
It's the actions, not the person.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah.
Yes. In this case, it's like, you know, 20% the person.
No, I get it. I totally get it. Because it's like when someone you like does something you, like, hate, you're like, oh, that sucks that that person did that. But when someone you hate does something you hate, you're like, that motherfucker.
I feel like it also, it is, like the way Aang would have handled this also probably would have been a lot different too.
Yeah.
And, like, that's also, I mean, that is, like, where their personalities come into play for sure. But, like, yeah, right now it really does feel like Katara's, like, that white person that's just like, why is there affirmative action? I never got any handouts. Like, you know, and you're just like, oh, God, I don't even, like, know where to start with you. I'm just going to back away slowly, like, but also not. Oh, man.
Yeah, it was that weird, like, I'm a privileged person helping you poor.
Yeah, but, like, you got to learn how to pull yourselves up by your bootstraps.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Like, and we're not discounting her experience in the Southern Water Tribe. Like,
yeah, it's a very complicated, you know, situation.
Like, I don't know.
All the qualifiers.
Yes.
You can't wait around for people to help you. You have to help yourself. Like, all the privilege that comes with being able to say something like that. Just like, how come you don't have generational wealth? What did you do wrong? So many layers, don't they?
I don't know.
So many layers.
Oh, my God. What do you mean everyone's parents don't give them $2,000 a month? Like,
oh my God. There's like a meme on Twitter and it's like, it uses some images from The Simpsons and it's like, there's all of those like finance articles where it's like how this person managed to save, you know, what, like $10,000 on a $25,000 a year salary. And then it's always like, wait for it. And then somewhere tucked in the story, it'll be like, I managed to move in with my grandparents and then I subleased the apartment my parents got me, you know, whatever. And I like earned all this like passive income and you're just like, there it is.
Uh-huh.
And like, there's like, it's like a Simpsons thing where it's like the kids are all like in the classroom staring and then like they cheer in the second picture. It's just like it's always like that's all of those articles are like that.
Uh-huh.
And like obviously like regardless of whatever privileges you have or don't have, it's like everybody still probably has like certain privileges, whether it's like you're able-bodied, like whatever it is, like you have them. So that it's like it's always good to acknowledge those things. Mm-hmm. And I would be obviously angrier if those articles didn't, but it's like the deluge of those types of articles that are so like they just lack complete self-awareness of
tone deaf
of like
absolutely
they're just it's insane. And I feel like that's like how I feel about some of the stuff in this episode where I'm just like where she's just like you can't wait around for people to help you and I'm like Katara. but like, yeah, at the same time, like Stephanie said before, and like, again, we're big qualifiers on this podcast, yep. But it's like, yeah, no one's saying she's had like an easy life, but she also has been afforded a lot of privileges, largely because now of her friendship with the Avatar, mm-hmm. where it's like, she obviously, like, so much of her opportunities now are because of that.
Even just things like, as a waterbender, she can get clean water out of that nasty river. Yeah. Like, you know, hypothetically, yeah. like yeah. if she were like right. a villager living in that village, she could have helped them more just with that. Just like, they mm-hmm. don't have that ability. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess they could develop a system. Yes, Abby.
There was a weird, okay, because you said waterbender. And you know, when, I don't know how we're going to talk about the multi-personality guy, but like Shu or Bushi, whatever. He's like, you're not that bad for a waterbender. I was like, what's going on right now? Did you guys catch that? Like,
yeah, I did.
Is there some sort of weird stigma against waterbender?
I mean, I assume that Fire Nation propaganda is like, oh, the Water Tribe barbarians, you know?
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That happened to her twice, okay. too, because Aang was like, you're really pretty for a spirit. And I was like, at first, I was like, damn, yes. Aang, like, you're an asshole. But then I was like, to be fair, what are the spirits he's encountered? It's like, hey, bye. And like,
he literally said it, too. He was like, the other spirits I've met were yeah. not as pretty as you.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just like, you know what? Actually, like, fair. Like, that, like, phrase is so loaded nowadays, obviously.
Yeah.
So, like, I immediately was like, the fuck, Aang? But then it's like, oh, well, it's like, when you've met, like, Ko the Face Stealer and Hey Bye and, like, yeah. Yue, you know, that you're one for three. So, like, yeah. fair, I guess. I
and
know.
Yue was originally a fish, right? Like, it wasn't
yeah.
Yue.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah it was who, a fish. Like, yeah. Yue was, like more of a fish than
I also was
at first,
like
the spirit.
I was like, do you not consider, like, not that I'm saying, like, Roku is pretty, but I was like, you've seen, like, Roku and, like, Avatar Kyoshi and shit.
Those are just past
shit.
Avatars,
like,
though.
Yeah, I'm like, are you not counting them? Because I'm like, you're really insulting everybody. I was like, also, Hey Bye is not ugly. He's like a fucking panda. Like, that's not yeah. fair. He's an animal.
And he's so cute.
Aang was just confused because he was like,
oh, man.
I'm attracted to this spirit, and that seems wrong. It must be Katara. Like.
Yeah, oh, but man. I also was like, oof, that was a very awkward, like, microaggression when that guy said that to her. I was like, yikes.
Also, yeah, like, how about that implication yeah. that he would, like, sell them out? One so of his weird. Personalities would sell them out in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That last scene, so weird.
I kind of was like, sometimes, like, there are a lot of twins in animation, and I feel like it's, like, such a trope at this point, and a part of me, like, in this episode, I've never really, like, wondered about it before, but in this episode I was just like, did they really just not want to design
another person
characters that, like, they just kept doing that? But then they still went through all the trouble of having him switch hats and, yeah. and outfits and stuff, so I'm like, they still had to design extra stuff. Obviously it's a lot easier to just design some, like, hats versus, like, a whole new face, but I was still just like why did we have to do
you know
this?
What would have been really, really funny is if it actually was, like, brothers. Like, I would have loved
end.
That like if it turned out yeah. there really were, like, three of them out there.
Yeah.
Because right. then it makes, because it's, like, so obvious that he's just switching hats. So, like, it gets to the point where at the end, Aang is like, oh, I knew it. I'm like, fucking duh, Aang. Like, yeah. he, like, ducked down and came back up with a different hat on. Like, it's not.
Yeah.
So, like, I think with all that, it would have been really fun, like, funny, because it would have been all that misdirection.
Totally.
Okay, but you know what I wanted, actually? I wanted it to be twins, and the one brother had two personalities, and the other one was just like, I'm really sorry about him.
Yeah, like even something like that would have been so funny.
There's at least one duplicate
yeah.
person.
There's at least two. Like, come on.
Yeah, I also was like, I yeah, was yeah. also fine that they didn't spend any more time on him, because I already, again, like, I just was like, this is too much for me.
Yeah.
Because it's also just like, I don't know, I just, like, didn't care. Like, he made me uncomfortable, and then I also was just like, this is not, like, did they feel like they had to have these little skits every couple scenes because of, like, the heaviness of the episode? Like, was he supposed to be, like, the levity? And because I was from, like, it's not cutting it for me, like, this is yeah. not it. Like, give me, like, more fun character interactions, like the Aang and Sokka spirit joke. Like, mm-hmm. give me that. Don't give me this rando right. who I'm never going to see right. again kind of thing.
Yeah.
I felt it was almost like I mean, again, I think I might have alluded to this. Like, I felt more like a effects of pollution yeah. thing. Like, everyone in this town is going crazy, and it was almost mm-hmm. more adjacent to a suspense thriller mm. type of thing. Like, this pollution is really weird, and, like, everyone in the town is sick, and
the fish are, like, mutating.
We need to do something about the yeah. pollution. Yeah. Yeah, I really wanted them to talk more about the pollution, and that's ultimately what I thought the start of this episode was going to be, where they really talk about the factory and the effects of pollution on the world. But it was not.
No.
No.
I feel like, yeah, we don't really deal with that much on this show, because, like, there's not, like, only now are we seeing, like, the signs of industrialization. Like, nobody else is really at that level. Yeah. I guess, like, the Earth Kingdom kind of has to be.
Is it more of a core thing?
We just didn't see it. Mm-hmm. But, like, the Fire Nation, obviously, like, they don't shy away from showing it.
Right.
But it's, like, good countries pollute, too. And I feel like that's also, like, a nuanced thing that, like, mm-hmm. this show was not, mm-hmm. like, it, that conversation, like, wasn't there yet.
Right.
Or it's just, like, the idea of, like, good people participate in toxic systems. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, you know, where it's, like, we're all, like, you can't exist in capitalism without being a part of it. But, like, you know, the whole, like, there's no ethical consumption under capitalism. But it's, like, you can't
exist without,
like, so you're just, like, stuck because we're powerless on, like, that bigger global scale.
What are you talking about, Jen? Mm-hmm. You can't wait for somebody to help you. You have to help yourself.
I was like, where is she going
with
this?
You can just, like, power through it, Jen.
Guys, I just have to lift myself up on my bootstraps and hope my dad secretly owns an emerald mine in South Africa, obviously.
Yeah, what's the solution to it all? Just start your own business and become a millionaire. All you need to do is just work hard.
That's it.
And they will all align.
This entire note, to you three as well as the listeners, if y'all have not seen Knives Out yet, go
I
watch Knives
I love that movie.
Because the layers on that movie fucking kill me.
Yeah, that movie is so good.
It's that same shit, you know, where there's like a scene where the woman's just like, I built my business up from the ground up. And then they cut to like the bitter brother and he's just like, she got a fucking $1 million loan from our dad. Fuck her. You know, and it's just like, that's just the tip of the tip of the tip of the iceberg with that movie. It's a very good comment on a lot of the stuff we're talking about here, actually.
I feel like the whole point of this episode, like, obviously it was, like, you know, shown through just specifically pollution, but it's showing that, like, the war also has negative effects on, like, the Fire Nation itself. Like, they're hurting their own people. I think it was supposed to illustrate that. And then there's, like, the larger message of, like, you have to help yourself, which is, you know, we've talked about that a lot already. But, like, you know, they're trying to show, like, oh, like, this industrialization has negative consequences. And then specifically the Fire Nation doesn't really care about its people, or at least not, like, in these further reaches where they don't have to, like, look at them and they can ignore them.
Yeah. And I feel like that was, like, also a nice thing about the beginning. Like, I feel like a lot of the beginning of this season is about kind of humanizing the Fire Nation a bit. Mm-hmm. Where, I mean, like, there's, like, the literal, like, where we saw the Fire Lord for the first time in person. We you know, all of those kids that we met at the school. And I know, like, Zuko and like, the ladies are going to get their own episode that kind of humanizes them a little bit more. We're going to get Roku's past. So it's, like, there's a and, like, you know, as they're interacting in towns and stuff, and, like, I feel like they're, like, in my brain just now, I almost was like, is this propaganda? Like, as I'm saying it. I'm just like, wait, am I being...
Is Fire Nation propaganda?
Yeah, it's just like, wait a minute, I'm being influenced to, like, humanize the enemy.
Yeah, I was gonna say, they are trying to make you sympathetic towards the colonizers. Like,
yeah, wait a second.
Oh, man. Oh, my God. You know what's interesting? I don't know if I brought this up before, but I was thinking about it the other day. I was like, Book 3, Fire, takes place, like, almost entirely in the Fire Nation. Book 2, Earth, takes place almost entirely in the Earth Kingdom. And Book 1, Water, there's, like, 4 episodes in the Water Tribes. Like, the whole rest of the season is, like, in the Earth Kingdom.
It's got a bad tourism.
True. I remember us talking about it even, like, when they got to the Northern Water Tribe, that it was like, wow, I wish that we saw more of them just hanging out in the Northern Water Tribe and seeing, like, the differences between the culture there as opposed to the Southern Water Tribe and stuff like that.
Yeah. I guess it's because they're so, like, small, like, geographically speaking, and, like, obviously also population-wise for the Southern Water Tribe. That's the only reason there's not enough, like, content for more than 5 episodes. Like, there's not as much to explore. But I just was thinking about that. I was like, that's very unbalanced.
Well, there are no water tribes left. Fire Nation killed them all.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yikes.
Yeah.
That's the tea.
I was thinking about Korra because it's like, oh, like their first book is the first book of Korra's heir, and then one of the books, I forget which one, is called Balance. So I was just like laughing at that in my head briefly. But yes, that's all. That's the whole joke. It's not a joke.
Had to be there.
I was barely there.
Oh man.
Obviously, we talked a lot, but it's like, I really didn't have a lot of notes for this episode.
Yeah.
Because I felt like it was handled really solidly in terms of just like, you know, how they disseminated the plot and everything and like the characters. And right. Like, I'm just like, yeah, I don't really, there's not like a lot to say about it beyond like the.
Right. They pointed out a lot of like they had at least one line for arguments from both sides for most of the things that happened, including what Jen, you were talking about, and you know what we all noted, where it was like the appropriation of a sacred spirit identity also was that they even brought in a little bit of the villagers being like, hold on, how dare you impersonate our spirit, you know? And even though the Painted Lady was apparently cool with that in the end, it was like there was a level of like, that could have gone really badly, like mythologically speaking, you know. Gods aren't happy about shit like that.
Yeah. How dare you pretend to be me?
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess at least Katara apologized for that at the end, where she's like, I shouldn't have pretended to be somebody else. So at least she acknowledged she was wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is true.
And I guess in a way, maybe she thought it'd be easier to like move through the town without it being immediately obvious who she was. But I'm like, just like put a hood on, you know, you don't have to pretend to be somebody else. Just like hide your face or something.
That's true. I got where she thought, oh, this is very convenient. They have somebody that they're attributing it to. So I can be like, yes, it was her. It's not a waterbender in the Fire Nation. But I was very like, you're not thinking about like this. I don't know if the right word is like heresy, like, you know, just in general, the spirituality aspect of it. In general, in the episode, if we're cool with moving on from that topic, in general, in the episode, I thought a lot of things they did were very solid, besides even just having all the, you know, making sure to have counter arguments in the narrative for everything. Just little details, by the way, I appreciated. Like how with all the hints that it was actually Katara pulling everything down to like Momo licking Appa's tongue because it was berries when it was first purple. Or like something I appreciated was that when they all recoiled from Sokka holding the two-headed fish, that they made sure to include Toph holding her nose to show that she was recoiling because it stinks, as opposed to she was recoiling because it was a two-headed fish but she can't see it. So like those are little things that in other media will bother me when like a blind person or a deaf person or something will react to something that I'm like, you shouldn't be reacting to that in the same way as everyone else. So I liked that they made sure to include that little detail, and I was like, good. Good, keep that up.
See, like the only extra thing I had was at the beginning of the episode, Aang was a dick because he got covered the sludge water, and then he airbended off himself at everybody else. Yeah, and I was like, why are you all so fucking rude to each other?
Because we've seen him do it so many times before. I was just like, Aang, don't you dick. He did. He did it.
Yeah.
We all knew he was going to, but it was still disappointing.
I mean, is anyone correcting him? Not that it's on the responsibility of other people to correct his behavior.
Nobody
but, like,
said
it's
anything.
True. He just doesn't know. I think he's not historically self-aware. Yeah. So this is like a catch-22 because like I'd be irritated as the person, but I'm like, it's not my job to fix somebody
else. It's true. The lady in Ba Sing Se was just like, oh, wow, the Avatar. The guy that he bent all the juice on in the desert was just like, he didn't do anything.
Right.
Well, I mean, I feel nothing for the rest of the squad because, you know, you can't wait around for people to help you. You can't wait around for people to become self-aware enough that they are throwing mud at you. You have to learn to help yourself.
Oh my God.
So. Oh my God. We've come full circle, guys.
You did it. And I hate it. I hate it here.
I was like, it's cute that you're playing Marco Polo with Momo, but also how the hell does it take you this long to realize the water's disgusting?
Yeah, I know. He was like, guys, I think the water's polluted. I was like, fucking duh. You were like in it.
You didn't notice the first like four times you came up.
Aang's one track mind. Anything else about the episode?
I thought it was interesting that the army has an emblem. I know that doesn't have any wider connotation, but I was just like, oh, that's cool, I guess. You know, just in terms of world building, I was like, that makes sense, but I never thought about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was like we were talking about with the war affecting the, you know, its own people. And it's not even just the greater, like the government, whatever. There's a lot of army culture not caring about the civilians aspect to it that was prevalent, where they were like, you stole our food and our medicine. And I was like, the food and medicine that you got from them, you know, they said that. They were like, all our medicine goes to the factory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All of it.
And I was like, all of your medicine?
And they were just very like, we're the army and therefore everything should go to us and we're just gonna kill this village of people, even though hypothetically the army is supposed to be protecting its people, but they're very much like not about that. Mm-mm. So it was like, you know, it was cool that they were able to, in all these little things, obviously, again, we always say this, they put a lot of stuff into one 20 minute episode. Yeah. Also, how was he gonna fight a spirit, right? He was like, we gotta fight the spirit, when he thought she was a spirit. I was like, what are you gonna do? Like, Do you think that this is like a Tui Law situation? Like she took a mortal form? Like, Although then I went on a train where I was like, oh, that'd be a cool AU, like where the spirits have to take a mortal form to walk the earth. But, you know, that was a tangent.
Yeah. I feel like all of that stuff, there's like, I can't remember and we don't need to get into it, obviously. But it's like, yeah, I feel like there were like a couple things that we bumped on with like anytime they interact with spirits and stuff where it's like sometimes it's like the rules kind of shift a little bit for the narrative. And it's like, I can't really hold a show like too. Like, I feel like, you know, a lot of criticism today is just like like poking holes and stuff where it's just like, not, it like serves the story. Like, just like, it's fine.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah. I don't like that kind of nitpicky like criticism. I feel like it's people just look for things to complain about and like that I don't like.
No, I agree. And I feel like whenever we do that, we always, again, it's like we always qualify it with either like we're joking or like this is just like us kind of being silly. And it's not something we'd actually hold against the show.
All right, cool. MVPs.
You're gonna be mad, but
no, I mean, like, I feel like if you're not anti-Katara, the MVP is Katara.
Yeah, I know, I'm
like...
sorry. I did pick Katara. I thought about picking Aang, because he kind of, like, that whole, like, painted lady thing at the end was, like, all through the power of Aang. Like, came in clutch. But I did pick Katara, because I was like, there are problems with your execution, but I see what you were trying to do.
I don't know who my MVP is. Abby, who's yours?
It's a tough one. I feel like no one really stood out for positive reasons, but if I did have to pick one, it would be Sokka and his itinerary, because it was just so funny.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, is it Sokka for trying to avoid the whole thing?
Mm-hmm.
Stay on the path.
He always tries to avoid, and it never works out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And more power to him. Like, I would just give up if it just... if I kept on insisting on something and nobody's listening, you know, he's very persistent in a way that they need, I think. So he's MVP for me.
I guess he'd be mine too. Because, like, I don't dislike Katara in this episode, but, like, I also feel like her character, like, she should have kind of been more aware of the situation and whatnot. Or at least should have listened when Sokka, like, actually did start pointing out, like, the issue. She could have, like, kind of just let it be, like, a one and done or, like, a two-day thing and just, like...
moved on.
Back off. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did also pick Katara, even though, you know, like, we pointed out all our criticisms of her entire, all her behavior. But, I mean, it was very much a Katara episode. Like...
yeah.
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 Yes, true.
Yes.
Were there any specific, like, moments that you liked or stood
out? Yes. The Toph line.
Yeah.
That's it.
That was mine too.
That's right. That's right.
That also when she was like, I wish your skills were on the hook to Sokka.
Oh my God. Yeah. Also, there's a scene in the middle of the episode where, like, Aang says something, like, silly or something, and she just fucking hits him.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and, like, I was like, oh.
He was like, Sokka does have a heart, and he was crying, and she was like, all right, that's too much emotion. Like,
I was just like, I have mixed feelings about this, but it's leaning heavily towards laughter.
By the way, when Katara was like, Sokka, you do have a heart, I was like, what a line.
I was like, yeah, that's rude.
What a way to word that.
What a line.
Oh, man. No one picked Bushi and Doc and, Shu?
No. You know, One of the Avatar extras was like, oh, his name is spelled XU, not shoe, as in like a shoe you wear on your foot. Like the Netflix subtitles were SHOE. Oh, like literally the Avatar extras said no.
Netflix says I don't care. I do what I want.
That was very Katara of them.
And then sadly our boy Zuko was not in this episode. Mm-hmm. So the honor count remains at the same. I don't know when we'll probably never hear him say it ever again. Like
maybe in the finale.
There has to be at least
until one the more. Last episode. The finale.
Could you imagine if it was literally only 7 times in the whole show?
I think
show?
It's going to be 9. I don't know where the others are going to be. That's my guess.
We do have a whole other season and a half, right?
Yeah, that's true. We're only like 3 episodes into this season, so. Yeah. There's time.
There is time. Okay. Well, then I'll just wrap up. So this has been Pod Sing Se and Avatar The Last Airbender podcast. Join us next week where we will discuss Chapter 4, Sokka's Master. If you haven't already, please leave us a rating and subscribe to us on all podcasting platforms. Thank you all so much for listening and talk to you again soon. Bye!